listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
Well, today is a special day. Another thing that was promised many, many years ago is that we would see the perpetuity of Cornerstone, and that it would be handed off to another generation. Did I know back then it might be Ben? Heavens, no. But I will say this, knowing Ben and watching him grow up, the remarkable transformation in Ben's life, how God has touched his heart and really, really lit a fire for God in his spirit. And he is pursuing that, and I appreciate that. And right now, what we have to do as we sit in the pews is to hear the word of the Lord from Ben with an undivided heart. Thank you, Ben.
Wow, thank you. I appreciate you, John. Thanks, Nolan. So I'm going to go ahead and open this up here. I know we close in prayer, we move in prayer, it's a house of prayer. So, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to come and just seek you, Lord. Father, we just pray that the words that are leaving me today, Lord, are yours. Father, let me decrease so you may increase. It's about nothing else except for exposing the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I just pray for your blessing in that. In your name we pray. Amen. Just a second here. Being a Christian is not a result of an ethical choice. It's not just a good idea. Being a Christian is the result of an encounter with a person. That person is Jesus Christ. That gives one's life a new horizon and sets it in a new, decisive direction. The big thing about this, and so the title of the message today is going to be The Encounter. Everything that we do is centered around this idea that is an encounter with this person, Jesus. What Christianity is designed and what it's all about is exalting this man who lived for 33 years, had a 3.5-year majority of ministry. And our goal and our objective is to reflect this man. In order to reflect him, we have to encounter him. We're not called to just go to heaven, but we're called to bring heaven to earth. And that idea was the beginning of a major change in my life. A long road that had change, it brought self-worth, it brought joy, it brought identity, and it brought purpose. Many of you know, my name is Ben DeBlanco. My grandfather's the pastor here, and we're scattered all throughout serving in different areas. But I grew up here. This has been my church my whole life. I sat in the pews and eventually chairs once we moved forward. And I had a good ethical standard, a good moral standard. I did things fairly well. And I found contentment in that. I was comfortable. It was a good space to be in, and I knew if it came down to it, I'd never deny my faith. I mean, it was the most important thing to me, but my life didn't reflect that. My life was filled with idols, and it was filled with everything else coming before God and me trying to make some time for God on Sundays or make some time to pray with him throughout the week or whatever it might be. And I'm going to tell you this to set the foundation for my story. I'm going to set up and give you guys a little bit of how I got to where I am, but I want to lay a little bit of the foundation as a man who went through the right things, showed up on Sundays, continued to understand or at least know the stories of the Bible, but they hadn't marked my heart. And so to start the story, I'm going to jump back to October of 2020. October of 2020, I actually started counseling. I started to recognize this constant state of not being enough. And as I continued to struggle in specific areas of my life, I began to take up counseling. I was meeting with Ann. I went through deliverance. I went through that whole process, and it was very restoring. And it started helping me understand the need to change direction, to not be as focused on a destination of heaven, but on bringing heaven to earth. And actually, before I kind of get a little bit deeper into this, you know, I woke up this morning, and people have been asking me today, they said, are you like nervous? Are you worried about like, you know, this whole thing? And I woke up and I was, I'll be honest. I felt like this sense of anxiousness. And then as I was there praying and just sitting in bed trying to figure out, okay, what is this about to look like? I felt like the Lord was like, it's just not about you. And the more you make it about you, the more you miss the mark. So as I kind of go through my story here, I want you guys to understand that the revelation that changed everything is it's not about you. Our whole goal, that's why I open with the idea of we're just revealing Jesus. We're just trying to reveal the revelation of Jesus Christ. And as we decrease, we must decrease for him to increase. If I were to come up here and try and help you guys like get to see my great story on how I was this weirdo and now, you know, a different kind of weird. That would be great, but it's all at the foundational revelation of it's just not about you. And so as I continue here, during this process, I gained a much stronger understanding of what it means to not be compromised. To not be content with just doing the bare minimum. And so I had like this season of my life where it was a great thing. I started turning a corner, but I mean, it was just the beginning. It was starting to help me recognize what I was missing rather than giving me that full space and revelation. Then as we jump forward into November of 2021, I went and stayed with Joel in Cincinnati. Actually, I was there for about 2.5 weeks. And there was this idea right before I went there of 4 minutes in prayer. There was a sermon that was like, your first minute is repentance. You go set a timer of a minute and you do it 4 times. First minute was about repentance. Second minute was about thanksgiving. So you give thanks to the Lord. Third minute was about worshiping the Lord. And the fourth minute was your request. And so having just heard that, I started carrying it into the way that it was my nightly routine. And then I go and I meet Joel in Cincinnati and I'm there and I started reflecting. And I was like, huh, well, that fourth minute's getting a lot longer. That fourth minute's turning into trying to like pray for a plethora of things. It was just wherever my heart would go, I would begin to pray for. And I'd never experienced that before. So as I then began to study it, I started listening to sermons and just trying to understand why it's going that way. What do other people feel about it? Have they had similar experiences? And I began to understand this concept of the monologue versus the dialogue in prayer. And that was a big breakthrough for me because we can talk and talk and talk, but as long as you're talking, you're not listening. And so during that time, I began to just start sitting and waiting on the Lord in prayer. And that became the foundation of the way I was going to build my prayer life moving forward. And that was just a huge blessing. And then I remember I was driving to pick up my parents in Columbus because they were flying in for one of Joel's games. And that was the first time I really just set aside time and just waited with the Lord. Wasn't bringing anything specific to him, but just waiting. I had surrendered the things that I would like to bring to him. I surrendered all of my ideas and I waited. And then he began to just impart in me the areas of my life where I had really found struggle that I didn't realize I had struggled in. And he started speaking the purpose and identity into my life as I'm just so much more than the things I did. And so during that time, I remember I was just driving. I was just so pumped. I actually came and shared it here when I got back. I was so excited. I was like, finally, I'm escaping some of this brokenness. And that was because of an encounter with Jesus. But that was just the beginning. And then as I move forward, you know, I come back, I'm I'm building up my prayer life, but we're still just at kind of the beginning of this journey. Then we get into 2022, and May comes along. And this was an exciting time for our family. This was really special. This was when Joel was working with the Saints. We had the draft going on. We had all these different things. And what was so revealing in that time was just how broken I was. As my identity was found in this idea of success, in terms of I wanted people to envy my life. That's what I was after. It wasn't about actually doing something well. When you start to think about, like, okay, what is good? Well, we measure good a lot of times in better than somebody else. And so as I watched my dreams be lived out by my brother who grew up across the hall, it helped me realize my brokenness. It really brought me to a place on my knees where it was like, you can't do it alone. I watched as people time and time again would not work as hard in things, yet they would have success and be taken to higher levels in places just because of God-given ability. And that's when I started to realize that the things that I wanted, that's not what it was about. It was this continued revelation of it's not about you. And you'll never find more happiness. You'll never find more joy. You'll never find more purpose if you're continuing to try and tell God what I'm going to do. And so I'm continuing to set this kind of foundation because today we're going to talk about an encounter with Jesus. We're going to talk about an encounter that will change everything. And so as I move along in my story, I wasn't sure if I was going to tell this one, but I was here Sunday morning. This was in July. It's about 2 months later. I was in worship one morning, and I felt like the Lord put on my heart this idea to come and set up an air mattress on literally like on stage and just sleep here. For some reason, pulled up in the middle of the night. And so I get this idea on Sunday morning, and then I kind of top shelf it. It's like, yeah, you know, you get sometimes weird ideas. And then Wednesday comes, I wake up, and I'm like, oh, today's the day I feel like I'm supposed to go do it. So I went, I told my family, told them that I was going to be here. And then I came down, it was about probably 4 in the morning. And I get down here, I set up an air mattress on the stage, and I was here, to be honest with you. So I walk in, and I felt like kind of, you know, you walk in just a dark place at night and just can feel a little weird. So I walk in feeling weird. And then the musician's room light was on. So I walk in the musician's room, and I feel this peace just wash over me. And then I come into the sanctuary, and it just felt different. It felt like something was off. So I'm like, whatever, I come. I drop off my speaker. I drop off my water. Go out to my car, get my pillow, blanket, all that stuff. I was loaded. And then I take one more trip to the car, and I get my air mattress. I pump it up, and then I end up taking, I walk through the building because you can't fit it through those doors. So I walk all the way around. And in that process, I'm a fairly observant person, but I walked by, my grandpa's office door was broken, wood on the ground. I did notice that the closet door was open, and then I walked by another broken door and another broken door and noticed none of them. And so I come in here, and at this point, I mean, I'm a little bit sweaty, I'm just worshiping, not wearing a shirt anymore, you know, I'm in here by myself. And I come here, I worship for a while, I go upstairs, I work on the computer, and then I hear a door close. And this was kind of a weird thing. To be honest, I thought I just heard something. I was like, you know, it's church late at night. I think that's possible. But yeah, so I felt like I heard something, but I continued to just go about my day. I probably got to sleep at about 5:36, somewhere around there. And then I kept having this like dream that like I was gonna get woken up and someone was gonna say, you know, you broke in. I was gonna get woke up by the police and they were gonna be like, you know, you broke in. I was like, no, I have the key. I have it, I promise. And so, but then I end up getting woke up by my grandfather. He comes and he says, someone broke in. I said, no, I have the key. And so I show him the key. He's like, no, someone broke in. They came in through the nursery. So we went and looked at it. And we ended up getting in touch with the police. That night, someone had broken in and they were in the process of stealing stuff. And it looked like they had just stopped in a certain room. What was believed to happen is that they were probably in that closet room that I had noticed the door was open, and had just stopped when somebody had put the key in the door. And so now I tell that story to say, after this time of that, the lowest moment in May and that brokenness, then the Lord met me. He met me there, and he proved to me that he has me and has a plan, because he used me in a pretty major way, and that saved the church a lot of money and stuff that they were going to steal. And then fast forward once again as we get into October. And this was an interesting thing for me. As I was writing my notes, finishing that up yesterday, unfortunately, I went back and I read an old journal. In this old journal, it said, it was October 2nd, 2022. And I read a journal entry that was my first one, that was just a man that was crying out for any sort of purpose. That was part of what's helped me identify my struggle. As I went back and read that journal entry, I saw that that person was so overwhelmed with jealousy and wanted other people to feel that jealousy about me, was so drowned in this idea of living a life that was causing other people to want my life. That's what I was after. And this is not that long ago. I think there would be highs and there'd be lows, but this was the undertone of my life. And this was the evidence of, where's the fruit? A big reason why we get to experience this full redemption, why we need to understand it's not about going to heaven, it's about bringing heaven to earth, is because we get to bear fruit. Happiness is something that comes and goes. Joy is an undertone of your life that you will carry in everything that you do. And joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Happiness isn't. You can find happiness without Jesus. You won't find joy. It'll still be rooted on the same faulty foundation. And so after that time, on October 2nd, first entry, I just was so broken. I was so upset. I remember being angry. I literally can think back to that night of just the pain and the frustration. And 5 days later, there's another journal entry, October 7th. And that entry was once again a place of such brokenness. And now just asking why. Why are things the way they are? Why, when I put my hand to something, does it not succeed? Why is there something I'm missing that others have found? And in that time of just heartbreak, and as I was reading this yesterday, I remember I called a couple people, a couple of my friends, and I just got done just sobbing, because I remember just the pain and the brokenness from especially that second journal entry. And every time I've like gone back and read it, I have it over there because I read it before I came up here, just as like a reminder of, could you imagine if that person saw 18 months later as somebody who's walking in redemption, who's able to stand before you and impart a word of the Lord, somebody who literally was so messed up in the way that I was thinking that nothing I did was about actually doing it. It was about other people looking at it and wanting it. And now I stand before you today, and I was here last night, and it was like my heart just was so restored. And so after walking in all of that pain, what God does, and we're going to see this as a theme, when you encounter Jesus, you're going to see three things happen consistently. Now, there's other things that can happen to part of that, but these are three very consistent trends that you'll see. And first of all, it's a recognition of your unworthiness. Encountering Jesus begins with an understanding that it's not about you, because you're not enough. Time and time again, as you try and do things of your own fruition, you may have worldly success, but it'll be empty. There will be no foundation that's built on. The second thing you'll see is there comes redemption. When we recognize our unworthiness, when we recognize our lack, he brings the fulfillment of what Jesus came to do. He redeemed you. It's not about going to heaven. It's about bringing heaven to earth. It's about walking in the fruit and the promises that Jesus gave his life for. And then one thing that will happen after that every single time is you'll be commissioned. One thing that will not happen is you will not be told to just rest there. You will be commissioned time and time again. When the Lord qualifies the unqualified, he commissions them. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that that can look a lot of different ways. Part of that can look by just walking in the life you're called to walk in, walking in the fruit you're called to walk in, living your life as a sacrifice. That's your true and perfect worship. And so now I'm going to get into some scripture. if you guys want to open to Isaiah 6, verse 1. This is a picture of Isaiah when he had a vision of the throne room of heaven. And we just sang about this in the song, You Are Holy, which is just so special. Isaiah gets a chance to be in the throne room of heaven through this vision, and you'll see this trend. Let's start at verse 1. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am ruined. Because I am a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. For the eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So now I'm going to break this down a little bit more. Don't worry. So I first want to go to explain something to you guys that I just found is a beautiful truth as I was reading through this scriptures, is when it says seraphim stood above him in verse 2, each having six wings, with two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. When they would cover their face or cover their feet, this was a sign of humility. And so seraphim is an angel. And what would happen is as they went about their time in the throne room, they covered their feet and they covered their face to be ultimately humble. And then the other two wings they used to serve, which I thought was just a beautiful thing. And then we see how the temple was filled with smoke. Now the smoke represents the prayers of the saints. So as people would pray, it would result in this like holy fragrance that would fill that space. And then Isaiah's response as he gets in there is, Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips. There's your recognition of unworthiness. He understands I'm not enough. In the presence of God, who am I? And then he goes on, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now this is an interesting thing that happens in heaven. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. So let me explain this. So then what happens is this burning coal represents the where they would put sacrifices in the altar. So they would use this coal, and then they would take it back into the secret place as a representation from the altar for atonement. I know this is a little bit more of a complex idea, but I want to drive this home. What would happen is this rock represents Jesus Christ. This burning coal represents the sacrifice that he made for us. This burning coal, we see them was pressed. It says, he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. And your iniquity, which means your sin, is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. So, as he takes the coal, representing the sacrifice, presses it to the area which is unclean, the area of unworthiness, which is us, he takes the rock representing Jesus and presses it to that area. And that's atonement. That's redemption. His mouth is now redeemed. So we see this process. First, you have unworthiness, followed up by redemption. And then the very next thing we see, and then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me, commission." So you have unworthiness, the recognition of unworthiness, and then there's redemption. You know what the best part about this specific story is too? He says, "I'm a man of unclean lips." So speaking, and he goes forth to be commissioned as the voice of the Lord moving forward. The exact thing that was unclean, the exact thing that felt made him understand how unworthy he is in the presence of God, is the one that the Lord is going to use as a vessel moving forward. He will qualify the unqualified. He will equip the inequipable. I think that that's the story of my life. As one who was so drowned and lost in my own selfishness, my own jealousy, my own envy. Now I've seen time and time again the Lord put me in situations where people are struggling with those exact things. Someone who was so broken and so lost, everything seemed like an uphill battle. I literally, in the journal entry, I was like, why does it feel like I'm in a constant state of trial? Why does it feel like I just continue to fall flat on my face every single time I'm pushing for something new and trying to be better? It's because I was consistently telling God what I was going to do. I didn't surrender. I didn't come to a point of an encounter with Jesus that was going to shape the rest of my life. Now we're going to go to another section of scripture. We're going to head on over to John 4. This story here is a beautiful story. There's a woman from Samaria. Samaria and Jews didn't get along. There's a lot of details to that story. I probably don't have time to dive into all of them. But end of the day, they didn't operate together. So we're going to go to verse 17. And we're going to see a similar theme and pattern here. The woman answered and said, actually, I'm going to read this in NIV. Hold on, sorry. I have this on my iPad. Give me a second. It says, "Jesus, so I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." And so here's the identification of the unworthiness in the presence of Jesus. And she confirmed, she says, "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshiped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Woman, Jesus replied, "Believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth." And then the woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." And so there's this understanding of unworthiness. And then we go to Jesus showing that he's presenting himself to her. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the name above every other name. is showing himself first to a Samaritan woman. His first revelation of him being the Messiah, being the Christ, of him declaring that, was to a Samaritan woman. Which this would have been an absolute insane concept at the time. And it showed that he's enough for her. Him coming to her shows her importance. And then what happens is she goes on, and just as his disciples returned, they were surprised to find him talking with a woman, but no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of town and made their way toward him. So then she was commissioned as the first evangelist of the ministry of Jesus. Someone who was most likely exiled, who was cut out of social circles, who was told, or who culturally with the Jews could not come and interact with them. They couldn't worship in the same place. They hated each other. She's the one who went and told all of Samaria about the coming Messiah, or the at the time their Messiah in Jesus Christ. He equips the inequipable, and he qualifies the unqualified. I tell you all this because when we see an encounter with Jesus, this is what it's all about. We're after one thing. This is our redemption. We're building everything that we have upon this idea of an encounter with Jesus Christ. You know, and Jesus has an interesting thing. I want to dive into this idea of, okay, well, what does some of this look like? What does surrendering look like? Well, what Jesus said when he told people to follow him, he said, "Pick up your cross and follow me." Now, this is important because we've kind of turned this into this idea of, oh, die to yourself, fall on your sword. I just don't think that tells the whole story. The words that in scripture you'll see that the scriptures can't mean something to you that it didn't mean to the person speaking or the person writing. So we have to try and understand what would that have meant to them. Well, the crucifixion process is an interesting process. It's filled with being beaten. It's filled with being whipped. It's filled with laying down your life. And Jesus was a great example of this. And then also in that crucifixion process, you would then carry your cross to wherever you were going. The amount of embarrassment, the amount of willing to just decrease that Jesus had to endure to pick up his cross for us, we'll never fully understand. But the truth and the reality is, he tells us to pick up our cross. He doesn't tell you to fall on your sword. He doesn't tell you to die to yourself. He says, pick up your cross. And that's an understanding that every single day, you have to be obedient to his word. You have to be sensitive to his spirit. And you have to seek him above all else. Philippians 2:7 says, being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. You're good. And so, as we continue to talk here a little bit longer, I just want to encourage you guys in this idea. An encounter with Jesus changes everything. An encounter with Jesus is when you go from something you do to who you are. Christianity is a good thing to do. It's a good moral mindset. It's a good way to carry yourself. But the truth of the matter is, it's about an encounter with Jesus. You can follow the rules all you want, but until your heart is marked, until you've surrendered yourself before the throne, truly submitting to, Lord, your will, not mine. You know, Jesus says, for I say nothing except for what I hear of the Father in heaven, and I do nothing except for what I see of the Father in heaven. This idea of submission to the point of even a cross. Death, and death even on a cross. I want to talk about another idea here, which is, what if the church today stopped thinking in the way of, let me make time for Jesus, and start thinking, no, let me make time for other things, because my constant is Jesus. What if we shifted the paradigm to, when we wake up in the morning, our constant is, we know that we're going to have time with Jesus. We're going to focus on Jesus. He's going to fill every thought that we have. And then from that, we find time for work. We find time for time with our family. We find time for food and even sleep. What if we shifted that paradigm? Instead of trying to scratch time from the other things to spend time with Jesus, we flip the narrative. What would happen? If we truly surrendered in that way, where we reshaped our daily plan and the way we understand our schedule, it'd be amazing how much more time we'd spend with Him and how fruitful that time would be. I challenge you guys to do that. I challenge you to, when you're figuring out your next day, as opposed to it being, let me see if I can find time to read scripture before bed, or spend a little bit of time in prayer before bed, which is fine. It doesn't have to be a lot of time, but it's got to be what comes first. And the time of day doesn't matter, but it's the prioritizing of the day. Jesus has to be number one. If you want change, if you want the Lord to mark your heart so you can bear fruit, joy, love, peace, patience, self-control, if you want to bear fruit, then the Lord has to mark your heart. That comes with encountering Him. So we're going to go back into worship in a minute here. Just a little bit more. And what we're going to do is, we're going to create some space. This space is for everybody in this room to set aside your shortcomings, set aside even the things you want to bring to the Lord, and just wait with Him. Worship Him, exalt Him, but wait with Him. And tune your ears, think about the Lord of hosts, and see where He guides your mind. And if you're struggling with that, there's Bibles around. Find some red letters and see how that reigns in your life and in your circumstance. One thing we have to carry as we seek that time with the Lord, it has to be intentional. You have to carry full intentionality. This isn't something that you fall into. It's like salvation. You choose to be saved by grace through faith. You understand this truth. You're unworthy. You're unrighteous. But through Him, you have redemption. Through Him, you have redemption. And I'm a living testimony of somebody who was so lost and so broken. In 18 months, it's been 18 months since I put in those passages, since I wrote those. After the second passage, there was about a 5 or 6 month gap, and the next thing was notes as I was teaching on The Chosen. The Lord can do a fast work. He is your identity. He is your purpose. The most authentic version of yourself is to decrease to be an image bearer of Jesus Christ. If you want to be authentic, you want to be original, that's how you do it. So as we go back into worship here, I want you guys to really just focus on the Lord of hosts and decrease it. The Lord will handle it. He's going to handle the stuff in your life. He just wants to sit with you. He wants to wait with you. He wants to dine with you. So I'm going to go ahead and pray for us here. And last thing before I do that is, this is what we do at our young adults group in the dwelling place. It's this idea of going and waiting with the Lord. Just waiting and seeking Him with intentionality. That can look different for different people. But just shifting your mind to be focused on the Lord. So, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this avenue to encounter You, Lord. We thank You that You're enough. We thank You that You've redeemed us, You atone for us, and You equip us. No matter how unqualified, inequipable, how broken, You're enough. Your name truly above every other name. We love You, we worship You, and we honor You. In Your mighty name we pray, amen. You guys want to stand up as we go back into this space?
King above all kings, the one true God. King of all kings, the one true God, the Christ King. King of all kings, the one true God, the Christ. King of all kings, the one true God, the
This has been really good. We just received a word today, and it's a word of realignment. It's a word of recalibration. It's a word that our lives return to a pure, simple devotion to Jesus Christ. It's a word that says, bring what you have, our lives, to Him. It's a word that says, it's time to become less self-centered and more Jesus-centered. It's a time to stop focusing on our life and focus on Him. It's a time that we begin to have lay down love. Lay down love. That we love Him so much, we lay our lives down. That we exchange our life for His life, that He lives through us. I feel encouraged by the Holy Spirit that there are some present here, possibly, some online, that this word has been a timely word for you. And perhaps there's a need to rededicate your life to Jesus, to recommit your life to Him. Everything from this moment past doesn't matter anymore. What matters is this moment right now that you acknowledge, Jesus, here's my life. So I want us all to lift our hands, and I want you to repeat this prayer after me. A rededication, a realignment to Him. It's all about Him. It's always been about Him, and it will always be about Him. Pray after me. Jesus, I believe You are the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through You. Jesus, I believe that You came as a Lamb of God and You chose to bear the sin of humanity. That it was not the nails that held You to that cross, but Your love for all of us. So Jesus, I accept You as my sin bearer, and I ask forgiveness for all my sin, for all my mistakes, for all my shortcomings. And I believe, Jesus, You took my sin. I now confess You are my Lord, You are my Savior, and I give my life to You. Come, Jesus, establish Your throne upon my heart. Live through me. I have one life, and I give it to You. Now seal this to my heart. In Jesus' name, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. We have people that love to pray. John and Lorna, Brenda, Sharon, come forward. If you want prayer before you leave, if you want a touch of the Lord, come forward. Have a great week. Remember, we're called to be atmosphere changers. Carry the presence of Jesus in every place you go today. We'll see you next week. Thank you.
Guys, do you mind if we follow this up with one more song here? Just a declaration of He's worthy. All right, sing with me here.
Is anyone worthy? Is anyone the grave? He is able.
listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.